This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The title of our khutbah is The Pursuit of Happiness. No doubt all of you have heard of the incident in Dallas, the murder-suicide. And the notion is that because it happened to a Muslim family that all the khatibs have to speak about it. It's as if there is an epidemic of this happening in the community. I personally don't like to comment on the news, especially to simply regurgitate what has already been reported. The other thing is that every time a khatib wants to comment on depression or comment on some issue in society, he's accused of giving the Islam is the only solution or Islam is the solution khutbah. And we've even shamed our khatibs of giving the Islamic solutions in many cases. But the truth is, you can alleviate depression with the deen. You can remove or control addiction with the deen. But when you say that, they say, you don't understand the complexities, you don't understand psychology. No, you don't understand Islam. The other thing is you'll be accused of blaming the victim. And we're aware that in America, everyone is a victim. Every action is blamed on something, some chemical or some drug or some diagnosis, anger or depression or a drug addiction. Even being addicted to drugs is blamed on something else. So with that, there are only really three things worth refuting in the long note that the murderer wrote explaining why he did what he did. The first, he says, quote, the only reason for existence is happiness. Then he continues to say, if the only reason to live is for happiness, then logically you shouldn't live life if you aren't happy. So he concluded, the only reason to exist is to be happy. And if you're not happy, you shouldn't exist. And so, not only that, based on that, he said, if my brother and I commit suicide, our parents will be unhappy. And they shouldn't exist unhappy. So they decided to murder their parents, their grandmother, and their sibling sister first, and then they committed suicide. But the truth is, yani, this is the basic thing we teach children from birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the reason behind our existence. Allah azza wa jal says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ And I have not created the jinn nor human beings except to worship me. The purpose of our existence is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not put on earth to be happy, but being happy is a perk and it's a plus. But that's not why Allah azza wa jal put us on earth. Contentment is required. Contentment makes life better and makes life easier, but happiness was never put as a requirement. The truth is, we exaggerate the role of happiness in many things. So they tell you, you know, the pursuit of happiness in life, or that you have to do what makes you happy in life, do what you love. But the truth is, that's not realistic, nor is it practical, nor would the world be able to operate if everyone on earth did what they loved. And realistically, very few people can do that. So is that a goal, that in doing what you love, you have to be happy in every aspect in life? Is it a condition that you have to be happy? Even in marriage, do you have to be happy? Yani, is that a condition? We're told that. If you ask someone, what are the things that keep a marriage together? They will give you a long list of things. But they forget that list if love is missing. Meaning, a man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he says, I want to divorce my wife. He asked him, is there anything wrong with her? Anything bad about her? He said, no, I just don't love her. And Umar radiallahu anhu, in his wisdom, tells him that there is more to keep a marriage together than just love. In that list, you would have said loyalty, you would have said respect, you would have said trust, you would have said all kinds of things, stability, and love was just one of them. And why is it now, if love is missing, the marriage should be dissolved immediately? Meaning there are a lot of things besides happiness in life. It is, as we said, a perk and a plus, but not a condition. We always exaggerate this issue of happiness. Even as believers, we exaggerate it. We always tell people, if anyone leaves Islam, they will be unhappy. Is that really a condition? If someone leaves Islam, they will be unhappy? Yani, is every non-Muslim unhappy? And is every Muslim happy? We know of someone who was Muslim for a long number of years. He reverted to Islam, and then he left Islam. When he left Islam, his main concern and what he was checking for every morning, if he was going to be unhappy or not. Because the Muslims kept telling him, when you leave Islam, you become unhappy. So when he left Islam, he found his life was normal. And he made videos saying, I am not unhappy. Which means, in his mind, Islam is not the truth because I'm happy. There's not a problem. But who told you that's a condition? Who said, once again, that every non-Muslim is unhappy? And who said that every Muslim is happy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave almost everyone on earth the basic ingredients to have a happy life. And that is having some kind of food, shelter, and water. And it doesn't really matter too much about the condition of the food or the quality of the food. But as long as there's food, shelter, and water, and most people on earth have that, except for some exceptions, some refugees and what have you. But most people on earth have basic shelter, basic food, and water. Even when you study Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you find in the bottom food, shelter, and water. And many other studies, the University of Illinois, they compared people in the Forbes 100 list, the very wealthy, with people who are just able to afford the necessities of life. And they concluded that when people can afford the necessities of life, and here are the basic necessities of life, increase in income doesn't result in a significantly happier life. Likewise, in Northwestern University, they conducted a study that was very unique. They sought out poor people who won the lottery. And they tested their level of happiness. And they had them compare their level of happiness before winning the lottery when they were poor and after when they became wealthy or even millionaires. And they found no significant increase in happiness. So we have the basic ingredients to be happy, and the majority of people on earth have these basic ingredients. But then we make our own conditions of happiness, and they are false, and they are made up, and they're in our head. The sad part is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every one of us so many blessings that we would not be able to count them. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you try to count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to enumerate them. So each one of us has so many blessings that we can't even count them. And yet I ignore the basics that Allah gave me to have a happy life. And I say I will only be happy if I achieve this distant goal or if I achieve this dream. And so I remain unhappy because I think my happiness is related to something distant while it's right in front of my face, the basic things that everyone needs to have a happy life. And that's why, there were two psychologists who tried to come up with an exercise to get people to appreciate what they have in life. And they concluded, write down things that you're grateful for. Constantly write down things that you're grateful for. And the scholars explained this way before that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla told us this before. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made us appreciate this before. To recognize the blessings of Allah. To be constantly thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. To look at those who have less than you in this world so that you appreciate what you have and you feel that you have more. And therefore you become more thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But one of the problems is that a lot of people expect Jannah on earth. They expect that on earth you should always be happy, never be sad. They even ask you questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? What they're describing is Jannah. Jannah is where everyone is always happy. Jannah is where no one is ever sad. As Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ. They praised Allah who sent sadness away from them. That's in al-Jannah. Jannah is where nothing bad happens to a good person. But it's not just about this life, it's about the next. And because we believe in the next life, that decreases from any pain of loss or anything in this dunya, knowing that there is another life where there is compensation, where there is retribution. And the believers were always aware of the next world. If you only live this life, then a loss would be a disaster. But because you know there's another everlasting life, a loss is not as painful. Ammar ibn Yasir, the companion radiallahu anhu, his ear had been cut a long time ago. So he'd always had one ear for many years. One day a man made fun of him. He says, you with the one ear. So Ammar ibn Yasir tells him, you have made fun of the best body part of mine, the one that was cut off for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he just a simple example, but look at how it didn't matter to him, because there's a next world, because there's a reason behind it, because it was cut off for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It didn't matter to him. But if all your life is here and you don't believe in the next one, then every loss becomes an utter disaster. And it's all about appearance and all about these kinds of things. That's why we have a calamity, we say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Or we say the dua, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. It's all a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either make it up to you in this world or the next. The other point from the long explanation that he gave behind the murder and the suicide is that his problem is that he was trying to figure life out. Who said you have to figure out life? Whether you're 19 or older. Who says our job is to unlock the mystery of life? Or follow the examples of philosophers like René Descartes, who went into a dark room and sat and for a while meditating, trying to figure out if he's really alive, what life is about, or any other philosopher. They started from zero. They started from zero trying to understand life because they didn't have the Quran. We have the Quran, we can never start from zero. Many times, we'll run into youth and they're trying to figure out what life is about, figure out what the purpose of life. They're trying to go through the path that these philosophers went through, trying to understand the world and life. You don't have to start from zero like they did, because you have the Quran and they don't. Why would someone who's up here say, I have to start like this person who is down here? You have the Quran. But one of the problems, brothers and sisters in Islam, is we belittle the Quran. There was a young man who was being brought, who was depressed, and they told him to come talk to me. And he said, I don't want to talk to the Sheikh because the Sheikh is going to tell me to read the Quran. So I made sure that when he came, I told him to read the Quran. Leesh? Because the solution is in the Quran. The solution is in the Quran. And I'm not going to avoid that just because you don't want to hear that. Yani it's like someone telling you, what's 1 plus 1, but don't say 2. No, I will say 2, Because it's the correct answer. I will tell you to read the Quran because the answers are in the Quran. You're trying to figure out life and ignore the instructions from the one who gave life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't make any sense. But the real issue is that we belittle the Quran, that it has solutions, that it can fix our problems. That's the real issue. So with that, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The other thing in his long message is that there was really nothing about Islam, and you can see that it had no influence on his life whatsoever. Yet he ends his note by saying the teenage Muslim guy. So what was Muslim about you? Is it just your name? Is this a membership that just by having the name Abdullah or Muhammad or Hassan, khalas, you're part of this club and you can't leave? He has no Muslim values in his contemplations of life, talked about having a girlfriend, constantly used profanity, no connection to the masjid whatsoever. But if there's anything for us to learn from that, is to make sure our children are connected to the masjid. And while they're young, they love the masjid and they want to come and play and they want to attend all the activities. But as one group conducted a study, once our Muslim youth reach the age of 13, they start to have little to no connection with the masjid. They don't want to come for the events or anything like that, and they stop coming to the masjid for the most part. Why is it that if our children wake up tired on Saturday, they don't have to go to the weekend Islamic school? But if they wake up tired on Wednesday or on Tuesday, there is no such thing as a choice like that. They'll be forced to go, and the whole house will be collapsed upon their head if they decide they don't want to go to school. The truth is, we don't really value Islamic knowledge. We don't really value Islamic knowledge. Even Islamic learning, we don't give it much value. One of our friends, his wife was in an Islamic university, and she was getting her degree in Islamic studies. He said, my parents would always ask me, when is your wife going to go to school? And I would tell him, she is in school. And they would tell him, no, I mean real education. Because we consider Islamic knowledge not that important. Even though the scholars used to always say, the greatest knowledge is Islamic knowledge. Because that's a knowledge with which you save souls forever. And then the second greatest knowledge is medicine. Because then you can save a life, but of course for a limited time in this world. But today, if we just poll Muslims, which would they rank higher? Islamic knowledge or medical knowledge? I had a friend who was studying medicine, and then he gave it up to go overseas and study Islam. And everyone always treated him as if he left Islam when he would tell them that. It was like kufr. How do you leave medicine and go and study Islam? And the point is not to say study Islam and leave medicine or architecture. The point is, do we value Islamic knowledge? And when our children don't want to learn anything about the religion, do we make a big deal as if they didn't want to go to school? As parents, if anything, we learn anything from this story or many others, there's nothing more important, especially in America. Wallahi, with all due respect, it seems as if the older people in the generation and this in the community, or the people who didn't grow up in America, as if they don't really understand what their children are going through, because they went to high school overseas. Have you ever walked into a high school in America? It's an incredible jungle. Wallahi, you feel pity for the Muslim youth that they're in these public high schools. It's an utter complete disaster, and most parents have no idea. So they think they can keep sending them to this school and then not countering any of that by bringing them to the masjid or Islamic classes. Wallahi, it's a disaster. 2 weeks ago, one of our good youth from the community, one of the Huffaz, he sent me a note, and he's saying that basically he's saying, I don't think you understand what's going on with the Muslim youth. And I quote, he says, you should talk to us as if we are borderline disbelievers. He said, you have no idea what these youth are up to as far as the haram. He said, they don't know Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't even want to know or love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't even try to pray. It was such an eye-opener. But here we are. We think we could just send them to public schools, not counter that with any Islamic knowledge, not give the masjid any importance in their lives, and then everything will be okay. And with that note, I would like to say, during the worst thing that happened during the year of COVID was that the youth who had the masjid in their schedule somehow developed a new schedule that didn't include the masjid because it was closed. And so even after reopening, are they going to come back to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal? And it's your job as parents to make sure you reconnect them with the masjid. Even if it's just to come and sit in the lounge area in the back and just study for an hour or two. You have to make sure you reconnect them with the house of Allah. With that, a final note about the month of Ramadan. And we all know that it will be in a few days, inshallah. Just not to put a program for anyone or anything, but just to remember what we've said on this minbar before, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal loves to see effort from His servants. Whether you succeed or not, you succeed, it's better. But if you don't succeed, Allah still loves the fact that you put effort. And we always say, why did Allah Azza wa Jal make Fajr early in the morning before sunrise? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Fajr at 11 a.m.? Because Allah Azza wa Jal wants to see effort. He wants to see the select few who will get up and they will fight against sleepiness and fatigue and make their wudu and perform their prayer. Allah Azza wa Jal loves to see effort from His servants. And that's why, or part of the wisdom behind why Allah allowed Iblis to live an extended life, so people can struggle against him and his soldiers. Because Allah loves to see effort from your part. So make intention to put great effort into worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in the month of Ramadan. Make intention to complete or to pray the night prayers in full, and to recite the Qur'an as much as possible, to make a lot of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, to leave off television and the internet and WhatsApp groups and things that are not of much benefit. Ramadan is just 8% of the year. Show Allah Azza wa Jal effort in that 8%. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa'afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا أبر الأبرين يا من يجيب الدعاء يا من يحقق الرجاء يا من بابه مفتوح وعطاءه ممنوح وفضله يغدو ويروح اللهم بلغنا رمضان وتقبل صيامنا وقيامنا اللهم إنا نسألك عيشة نقية وميتة سوية ومردا غير مخز ولا فاضح اللهم إنا نسألك جوامع الخير وفواتحه ونسألك الدرجات العلى من الجنان اللهم اغفر لنا أجمعين اللهم أبرم لأهل الإسلام أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله